Hello there, back again on the Bernie Miklas Show. Two videos today. I need to do that more regularly, actually. If only I had more time. I'm going to make time. And I really wanted to make time this afternoon here on the Bernie Miklas Show on YouTube because there was some news today at the annual baseball general managers meetings. That's where all the general managers get together after the World Series and they start to lay the groundwork for possible trades and moves and all that stuff. It's kind of like a preliminary, if you will, a preliminary session for the upcoming winter meetings, which is the big one. That's where everybody goes nuts and everybody, there used to be a lot of trades, not so much now, but anyway, the agents show up and they're trying to schmooze everybody. It's kind of fun, although I'm glad I don't have to cover those anymore. Anyway, today, John Mozeliak, Cardinals president of baseball operation, told the media who covers the Cardinals, who were down there, plus ESPN's Jesse Rogers and others, Derek Gould, of course, Katie Wu, and I assume John Denton. But anyway, all the good writers we like who cover the Cardinals. Anyway, John Mozeliak revealed that Wilson Contreras will be staying with the Cardinals, but he will be moving to first base. Now, Those of you who's just seen this, you probably already know this basic information, but I think it's always good to reset and review before we move forward. So Contreras has played two seasons into a five-year contract. So he's got 3 years left at about $18 million a year, maybe an $18 and a little change per year. And he's got a full no-trade clause. So it's not like the Cardinals could have moved him just because they wanted to and just said, well, you know, here you go. We're trading you to Sacramento. Sacramento would be the Oakland A's, who are in the process of relocating to Las Vegas. No, it doesn't work that way. Contreras had a say in what his future would be. That's why the Cardinals give you a no-trade contract. That's the whole reason of having one. You get to say yes or no. I really like this. I mean, I really truly like this. I mean, Contreras is primarily a bat first player. And more on that in a minute. I think in 2023, his defense left some things to be desired. But he worked really hard all of last offseason to get better for 2024. And he was better for 2024. His pitch framing was -1, which pretty much says what you would think, just a tick below average. His blocking was okay, not great, not bad, okay. He's got a plus arm. He was the best Cardinals catcher last year at throwing runners out. In fact, that's been one of his strengths for years. And the pitchers enjoyed working with him. They had no problems working with him. I think his defensive issues have been overstated, and I hate to say it, but my suspicion is that it's really the people that are always like harp about that aren't, it isn't really based on anything other than the fact they don't particularly like Contreras behind the plate. Maybe they think somebody else would be better behind the plate. Now that's a fair view. That's a good point. But it's just sort of strange. And I don't know how many people we're talking about, but the people who don't like Contreras, Cardinals fans, who don't like him. They really don't like him. So factor that in when you see people complaining in the comment section, because they just don't like him. Really didn't have much to do with baseball. I like this. And John Mozeliak explained one of the reasons is because we really want his bat. I'm paraphrasing. We really want his bat in the lineup. Really want his bat in the lineup. And he's been getting hurt as catcher. So the Cardinals hope and believe, and they're probably right, that by playing first base and not having to catch and also being used at DH, Wilson Contreras can take more at-bats, more plate appearances, a lot more. Because last season, you recall, he was limited to 84 games because of two pretty serious injuries. He had a broken arm. JD Martinez swung through and, Contreras was set up a little aggressively and boom, bat hit it on May the 7th, I believe. And Contreras was out for a month or so with a fractured forearm. And then later on, he crowds the plate. And I don't want to keep talking about this for people who still don't get it. He crowds the plate because when he does, he's one of the best hitters in baseball at doing damage to to outside pitches. That's why he moves up on the plate. But when he moves up on the plate, there's a more of a risk that he'll get hit. You know, it's not like he's the only guy ever got hit by a pitch. You know, there's some guys who all but stand on home plate who get hit by a lot of pitches. So broken finger, and that pretty much knocked him out of the box for the rest of the season. But only 84 games. And the problem with that is you didn't get his bat in the lineup enough. And the problem with that is that he was one of the best bats you've had. In fact, over the last two seasons, his only two seasons as a Cardinal, Wilson Contreras has led, and this is a minimum of, I think, 750 plate appearances. I mean, you know, it's a you want a bigger sample size. But among players that had 750 plate appearances the last 2 years as Cardinals, Contreras has the best on-base percentage. He's got the highest slugging percentage. He's got the highest OPS. He is second in wins above replacement. And the fancy pants stat, weighted runs created plus, all you really need to know is the average is 100. And he, over the last two seasons as a hitter, he has been, let me see here, 33% above league average offensively. That's really good, and that's been the best among Cardinals over the last 2 years. But he can't do that damage if he's not able to play. And by not catching and by giving the Cardinals giving an opportunity to Ivan Herrera and Pedro Pajes to put their name on the job, more on that coming up, this makes all the sense in the world. Now, I don't know. I'm going to sit here and tell you, oh, he can handle first base. That'll be fine. Because when some people, and I know some of you did this, and that I'm just glad you did, because it gave us all something to think about. On the comment section, you mentioned, hey, they ought to move. With Paul Goldschmidt leaving, they ought to move Contreras to first base. And I said, I don't dislike it. I just don't know if he can play first base. Well, if you look at his major league career with the Cubs, 11 games, 4 starts, 51 innings. So he basically spot duty, if that, as a first baseman. But I do know this about Wilson Contreras. He works his tail off. He is extremely dedicated. He wants to be good at what he does. He wants to be great at what he does. And he will put everything he has into this project of playing first base. It's not easy to play first base. I think I said this once before. You know, when Lance Berkman was a Cardinal, you know, they moved him to right field, first base, back and forth. And I asked him about that. And he said, you know, I don't know why people say it's so easy to play first base. It's not. There's a lot of things you got to worry about. And Berkman said, I love playing in right field. I mean, your assignment's pretty simple there, as long as you're lining yourself up in the right spot. He said, first base, like, it's just constant action as far as what do I got to worry about? You know, holding the runners on and just making throws from all different kinds of angles and, you know, trying to get the balls in the hole, do I play it to the line? What do I do? You know, he says, your brain's just constantly spinning. But I think Wilson Contreras got the baseball aptitude to handle it. And he doesn't have to be one of the great defensive first baseman in baseball. And he just has to do an average job down there. Paul Goldschmidt is a bit above average defender. There's no doubt about that. So the Cardinals probably will get hurt a little bit by that defensive switch. But Paul Goldschmidt's leaving, and there isn't anything he can do about it because it doesn't make sense for him to stay, and he wants a chance to go win a championship. And the Cardinals are not poised. They're not in that position to compete for a championship. He's wanted to be a free agent. Now he can pick his own spot. I'm happy for him. We talked about that the other day. But I think Contreras can build himself into a respectable first baseman, mostly because he's committed to doing that. And according to John Mozeliak, Wilson Contreras was enthusiastic about this idea. And he reiterated to John Mozeliak that he really wanted to be a Cardinal. He wanted to help this team get through this phase, that it's really important for him to help the Cardinals turn things around. He wants to be part of that. See, he also has leadership capabilities, and he wants to be a leader. And I think with him playing first base and being at DH as well, he'll be in the lineup. He'll be a constant presence in the lineup. And when you're playing every day or just about or most games, you know, you can be a more effective leader because you're in the middle of the action. And it's just easier to break through to players that way because you're all in the same game together. It makes for good dugout conversations after an at-bat or after a fielding play. So this is a good idea because Contreras, you need his bat in the lineup. It's worth, if you're having a rebuilding year, a reset year, a refurbishing year, a renovation year, whatever the hell they're calling it, this is exactly what you do, right? You say, well, he's not a polished first baseman, but we think he can play decently at first base, and so we're going to put him there. Isn't that what you're supposed to do when you're entering a season like this, where you have sort of throttled down, you know you're not going to be ready to contend a title, and you want to look at a lot of players, and you want to look at young players and pitchers, and you want to give them an opportunity, and you're going to put them in a position maybe you wouldn't do it if you were a team that had legitimate division title, pennant, World Series hopes. You know, then it's like, well, we don't want to experiment too much. We really like what we have out there. The guys we're playing do a good job. We don't need to fool around here. But when you're going the opposite way, when you're spending the next couple of years, I think, not trashing everything, not tearing it down and blowing it up, but creating playing time and opportunities for some of your younger players and pitchers, and for things like this, moving a guy to a new position, a veteran whose bat must be in the lineup and will benefit you if it's in the lineup. Put him in first base. That's what the whole point of, quote, rebuilding is. Now, some people will... Listen, man, I like Lucan Baker. Don't get me wrong. But I was checked out online as soon as this word came out and started to, you know, move through social media, hellfire. And there's already people whining about, well, they need to put Lucan Baker at first base. Listen, please. And it puts me in a position to where, you know, it sounds like I'm ripping or I want to rip Lucan Baker. I don't. Lucan Baker, first of all, is not a kid, okay? Lucan Baker's been around a long time. I think his age is 28, going on 29, something like that. He's not a baby. They didn't draft him out of high school 3 years ago, all right? The other thing is he cannot hit right-handed pitching, and that's true even in the minor leagues. He is a guy that not in 2023 for the Cardinals in limited action, talking about Lucan Baker, not in 2023. Because in 2023, in very limited action, he did not hit left-handed pitching in a major leagues for the first time he saw it either. He did hit it really well this past season, but also very, very small number of opportunities. So you give me my choice here. And I said, if Contreras is going to stay and the goal is to keep him healthy and in the lineup to take advantage of his offense, a good spot for him is first base. And to me, whether it's Lucan Baker or Wilson Contreras, again, I repeat, please, come on. I like the big fella, but let's not get carried away here, all right? Please. You can do what you want. That's all right. But I just think it's kind of puzzling in a way. But anyway. Then what about the idea? Well, what I thought Burleson was going to be the first baseman. He's better at first base than he is in left field or right field. That's true. He's not bad at all at first base. He's also a platoon guy. And so if you're going to put him at first base, you can do that against right-handed pitching because he can't hit left-handed pitching. And some of you are going to, you know, break out in a rash because this idea that, well, you know, you got to let him hit against left-handed pitching. He did pretty good in the minor leagues. I know that because I pointed it out. He did. But in the major leagues, the idea of him batting a lot against left-handed pitching, there's not really a need for that just yet. Because the one thing that we tend to overlook, I don't because I've always bring it up, there are way, 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 way more right-handed pitchers than left-handed pitchers in baseball. I track this every year, and I forgot exactly what it was this past season. But I know that in the past three or four seasons before that, the St. Louis Cardinals, when they came to the plate over the course of the entire season, they faced a right-handed pitcher in their at-bats about 70 to 72% of the time. So, you know, you say, well, we can put Burleson at first base because he can get a lot of swings against right-handed pitchers, so that would be a good place to put him. It would, in that kind of setup. But he doesn't have to play against left-handed pitchers because there's no need for it. You don't see him all that often. So I'm cool with Burleson playing first base in some type of unofficial platoon. And on those days, I'm just saying this like one scenario. In those days, then you could have Contreras DHing, or maybe it's one of his days off, or whatever the case may be. So this can work. I mean, this isn't going to, like, all of a sudden Burleson's not going to hit, or he's not going to play a lot. And Burleson's got some things to prove on his own, and he needs to, you know, he fell off the cliff in the final couple months last season. And you take a look at his, you can go to Baseball Reference or anywhere else and look it up. They're easy to find. Take a look at his batting splits before the All-Star break, after the All-Star break. Bet pretty bad after the All-Star break. So he was doing great things, but he just fizzled out. I think he's a good hitter, but I think, again, he's got a lot to prove. I don't think Contreras has anything to prove when it comes to hitting a baseball and to being a really productive, really, really good hitter. He's pretty much a sure thing. He's not a guy where you have to wonder about, well, you know, last year he was good and for a couple months and then he went cold and, you know, he's up, he's down, he goes from one extreme to another. You know, Contreras, pretty steady guy. And does a lot of damage to the baseball, and he draws a lot of walks, so he's on base a lot. And for a catcher, he runs pretty well. I'm not talking about stolen bases. I just mean getting around the bases. Not bad for a catcher. So there's a lot of ways they can go here, but it's really important to have Contreras' bat in the lineup if he's staying. And once again, this is the part where you don't say, well, they still should try to trade him. No, he wants to stay here. They obviously had a big powwow about this, and I believe they conveyed to Contreras. I'm told they conveyed to Contreras. They want him to be part of this, and they think he can be a leader, become a leader of the team, and help them get through this time. And Contreras is all on board with that, and he has a great attitude about it. So let him play and let him hit. It's my opinion. I could be wrong. And perhaps I'm guilty of, like, not recognizing that most Cardinals fans or media understand this. Okay. So I tend to do that. I tend to be Mr. Know-it-all. It's one of the bad parts of my personality. At least I admit it, right? Do I get credit for that? At least I admit it. Anyway, I don't think he gets quite as much credit for his offense that he should. And if I may run some stats by you, not a lot, but I think I have to illustrate it. You know what I ought to do? I ought to get a board here, and I ought to, like, write out my own graphics, kind of go old school, and just hold it up when want to show you some Contreras stats. I don't know if you remember political coverage on NBC way back in the day, like election night or whatever. The late, great Tim Russert. That's what he did. He didn't have any fancy graphics. He had either a yellow notepad or a white one of those whiteboards, and he would just scribble in, do the math live on the air about this guy needs to win this state, and here's what would happen if he does, and he'd fill it all in. People loved that thing. They loved the fact that he was using a board and he was writing it in, rather than relying on these fancy pants graphics, right? I don't know why I got I don't know why I deviated off to this, but I do like to have some fun here. It's part of these videos. It's supposed to be a little stream of consciousness. Anyway, so yeah, I may do that. I'm going to get myself a board, start writing the numbers down, and hold them up here. At least you could look at them. You don't have to listen to me read them. Anyway, among major league right-handed hitters who have had 850 plate appearances over the previous two seasons combined, right? And there's about, it's close to 100 of those guys. I wanted to have a large sample size, right? I didn't want to make, like, I think when a guy has 850 plate appearances, the sample size is a lot more meaningful and credible than if the guy had 250, you know, it just tells you more. It reaffirms what you think you know and what you've seen about him. Anyway, so among 90 hitters with eight right-handed hitters, 850 plate appearances the last 2 years, Contreras is the 10th best hitter, the 10th best right-handed hitter in the majors over the last 2 years, based on weighted runs created plus, 33% above league average offensively. That's 10th. It's tied for 10th among all right-handed hitters in the majors the last 2 years. His on-base percentage the last two seasons among right-handed hitters is 6th best. His on-base percentage is .366. You know why? Because he's got the 7th best walk rate among right-handed hitters over the last 2 years. He's over 11%. He hits for a fine average, but he draws so many walks and he works counts and he works pitchers. And he has got pretty damn good plate discipline. So he's on base a lot. And the Cardinals as a team do not draw enough walks. Contreras will draw you some walks. If they want to pitch around him, he ain't going to get himself out by chasing pitches out of the zone. So anyway, 33% above league average offensively. That's number 10 among right-handed hitters the last 2 years. Number 6 in on-base percentage. Number 18 in slugging percentage. His OPS of .835 is 11th best among all right-handed batters the last 2 years. Isolated power, no need for me to explain that. He's in the top 17 there. And I mentioned his walk rate. If you prefer OPS plus, 29% above league average offensively, that puts him in really good shape. He's pretty high on the leaderboard there. And I mentioned all the things he led the Cardinals in the last couple of years. Hits the ball really hard, got good exit velocity, on and on and on. He's just a good hitter. I don't know how else to put it. Really good hitter, and you want that bat in the lineup, and he's going to be here. If he didn't want to be here, he would say, yeah, I'd be good with the trade. Well, I wouldn't be doing this video, but it's already determined that he will be here. If you want to argue that he shouldn't be here, go ahead. But that's the old kind of tilting in a windmill thing. It's just, what's the point? The other part of this is that now the catcher job will be open. And in a bigger picture, the Cardinals have, and I talked about this when we did the video about whether they should trade Contreras or consider trading Contreras. The Cardinals are loaded with catchers. Let's move Contreras out of there because the Cardinals are. He's going to first base, right? So let's put Contreras there. Now you got two catchers who played a lot last year, two younger guys, although Ivan Herrera is younger than Pedro Páez. But you got two other younger guys right behind them. You know, Jimmy Crooks, and let me get my sheet here. Jimmy Crooks is a guy they drafted in the fourth round a couple, 3 years ago and gave a lot of money to for a fourth round player. And he is got a left. First of all, he's very good defensively. And I was reading some of the reports from Baseball Almanac and some other, not, excuse me, Baseball America and some other sites. He's rated very well for his defense. And people like his temperament. They like his attitude behind the plate. And he's kind of got that bulldog vibe going. But he has got really, really good left-handed bat. That's all he hits. He hits left-handed. But Crooks this past season at Double A, listen to these numbers against right-handed pitching, okay? 331 average, 404 on base percentage, and a 528 slugging percentage, which means his OPS is close to 1,000. And the year before that at High A, he had really, really outstanding numbers in a pitcher's league, by the way, playing A-League baseball. But again, he punishes right-handed pitching. Jimmy Crooks is on the way pretty soon. I mean, I assume he's going to be the starting catcher at AAA in 2025, as he should be. And he ain't that far from arriving in the big leagues. So you're going to have a competition, in effect, for Herrera and Páez. And you got Jimmy Crooks. First of all, don't you love that name? Doesn't that sound like a catcher? Jimmy Crooks. Oh, that Jimmy Crooks, he blocked home plate. You know, it just sounds like it. That's a player. That's a ball player's name. Anyway, Crooks is knocking on the door. It ain't going to be long before he's, hello, I'm here at Busch Stadium. It's my time. So Crooks is on the way, and then you have a guy that's younger. He's down he's in the Arizona Fall League, Leonardo Bernal. Don't the Cardinals have all their catchers? Don't they have neat names? You know, Pedro Páez, Ivan Herrera, Jimmy Crooks, Leonardo, Bernal. I love the names. Anyway, Leonardo, they call him Leo. Leo is a switch hitter, and I think he's better from the left side. Don't hold me to that, please. I couldn't find that information quickly today. But he's a switch hitter, and compared to Crooks and Herrera especially, you know, he's not as advanced hitting-wise, but he's also younger. He has had less experience, and some of the scouts seem to think he's going to grow into a hitting role and he's going to have some power. But he's behind Crooks just because of development and because of experience in the minors. But he, too, is on the way. So that's four catchers. And I know people are down on Pedro Pages, and I'm not down on him, but, you know, from the instant reaction I saw to this, it says, well, it's got to be Herrera behind the plate. Because people don't think Pages is very good offensively. And listen, he's not as good as Herrera offensively. There's no question about it. He's not. He did have some good stretches, and I think he can become a better hitter in the major leagues. I'm not writing him off. But there's no question that Herrera is the more talented offensive player. And an observation about the both of these guys, if I could, and this is based on me digging deep into a lot of research numbers on this. But I'm gonna boil it down to a simple proclamation. I think the Cardinals overrate Pages' defense, right? But I think we all tend to underrate Herrera's defense. I think to an extent, Pages is more capable of being a pretty good hitter than we want to believe that about him. And I think Herrera can actually be much better defensively than we seem to think for him, that it's going to be that way. I think his defensive imperfections have been exaggerated because he too has improved, talking about Herrera. But if Herrera's in the lineup, it's going to be because the bat also would dictate that. But I was looking at all the StatCast, and I won't bore you with it. I was looking at all the StatCast stuff the earlier today, and there isn't much difference between Herrera and Pages. There really isn't. And I think the perception is a really wide gap. There isn't. I'm talking about the defense. I think Pages has a better feel for handling pitchers and calling a game. But on the other hand, if that's one area where he's still learning, it's okay. Again, what is 2025 all about? This is the perfect time to put Herrera behind the plate and tell him what he needs to work on to get better, and you give him ways to improve. And oh, how about this? How about having a coach at the major league level to work with catchers? How about that? You think that might be a good idea? The Cardinals have all these catchers they've never had in the minors. None of these kids have had a minor league catcher instructor. Never had one. And there's not one in the major leagues. Not a full-time thing where that's the only job. So if you want Herrera to be your catcher because he's got so much potential offensively, well, give him some coaching. You know, let the Heim Bloom era begin, where it's like, hey, we're smarter now. Look at us. We're a lot smarter now. And the fact that you would actually give a young, raw, unpolished catcher, any of them, whoever they are, that you would actually give them coaching? Wow, what a breakthrough. Pardon my sarcasm. It's getting late in the day, and I'm probably wound up. No cocktails yet, though. Oh, my word. You have my word. None yet. Anyway, I don't think Herrera's is bad, maybe defensively is he's sort of portrayed. I'll tell you one thing, they both need to get back. The one thing you miss with Contreras not behind a plate, you miss his throwing arm, which is way above average, and he's one of the best in the league at doing it. He really is. Even in this new era, the last couple of years where everyone's running wild, Contreras is still a detriment. He was still gave people pause before they tried to steal on him. His throwout rate 2 years ago was excellent. It dipped a little bit last year, but it was still above league average. These other two guys have been terrible at throwing out runners. And again, I think some of that is on the pitchers. I really do. But I also think, once again, I just did my rant on that, so I won't repeat it. But I don't know. Maybe a coach would help. Because it's not like these kids can't throw. But if you look, if we look at Herrera, he's really got an exciting bat. He really does. Last season, he had about 250 plate appearances. He hit 301. His on-base percentage, because he's like Contreras, Herrera draws walks. They need that. His on-base percentage was 372, and he slugged 428. But there's a lot more power there. That's coming. But his OPS for the season was 800. That's really, really good. And if you look at him, and by the way, he was minus two in his throwing. He was a plus one blocker, and he was average on his pitch framing. That's not Johnny Bench, but that's not Yadier Molina. Does that sound like a stiff behind the plate? I don't think so. Herrera, in my opinion, it's nothing against Pajes, but this is supposed to be a rebuilding, revamping, replenishing, resuscitation year. And if you believe that Herrera has got the most talent of the two, and he's got the by far the most potential upside of the two, and that you can see him being really good as a Cardinals catcher offensively and above average defensively. In other words, he doesn't have to be great, but he can be average above average. His bat will justify his presence behind the plate. That's the guy you go with. And he is younger. He is younger than Pajes. And the whole point of having two catchers is that it's not like, you know, Herrera going to be catching 150 games. I mean, there's going to be a lot of playing time for Pajes as well. And you could always stick Herrera at DH on certain days. But I know that some, you know, some of the media, and no one's making a mistake, but the media is sort of portraying it as, well, they're going to split the job. I am opposed to the idea of this thing being a full-on, full-out timeshare. Herrera needs to play a lot more than Pajes, because you'll have that bat in the lineup. That power will continue to blossom. It will continue to bloom. And the more he plays behind the plate as a catcher, the better he will get. And that includes calling pitches. It ain't going to get better if he's on the bench, right? Ain't going to improve in those areas if he is parked in the dugout or he is a DH. So I hope the Cardinals are smart about this. They're showing respect to Pajes as they should. I think the pitchers like Pajes, and I think he is experienced beyond his years with that. And that's been his rep ever since I first heard about him 3 or 4 years ago. But if you're going to do this, it's a two-parter, right? Contreras to first base, that opens up the catcher position. That's part one. Part two, Herrera's got to be the guy. Again, yeah, the backup is going to play quite a bit. But one of these guys should have a lot more starts than the other if all is equal in terms of their health. Nobody's hurt. Herrera's got to play more. But I like it because you got so many catchers, something's got to give. Well, the Cardinals moved Contreras to first, so something did give. And Contreras was happy to give. He thinks this is good for the team. And to his credit, that's why he wants to do it. He's a team guy all the way. So he's willing to learn a new position if it'll help the Cardinals. I admire that about him. And I think he's also a developing team leader. So that's kind of the way I see it. And I'm sure there will be more to talk about on this. I went 34 minutes for you. So this was not a quickie, but there's a lot of stuff to talk about because we ain't talking about just one isolated move here, moving Contreras to first base. There are a lot of things attached to that because a lot of things happen in other spots because of this move to first base. And you got two other prospects on the way. So there's a lot of ground to cover. And that's why I went a little deeper today, but I hope you got something out of it. Feel free to disagree, but just please, let's not do the Luke and Baker as Mark McGuire thing. Okay. I like the big lug a lot, but I don't know. Give me Contreras down there. I like his hitting. I know, and he can hit righties and lefties. All right. I'll shut up now. Promise. I'm out. We'll talk tomorrow here on the Bernie Show. Thank you for watching.